Hey, it's Simon.
And this is Martina.
And we're broadcasting out of
Kichijoji,
Tokyo, Japan, the loveliest part of all of Japan.
It is quite beautiful right now. It's cherry blossom season.
Yes.
It's getting really warm and then super cold at night, and you're inappropriately dressed for the balance.
It's like 21 degrees in the afternoon,
t-shirt and
then
hoodie.
Something like 4 degrees or 1 degree at night. It just, the temperature changes so abruptly.
We're on our bicycles. We're like, why did we wear our hoodies today? And
exactly.
The two of us are like, shaking cold. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, it's lovely. It's springtime. The birds are out. Mm-hmm. Freaking flowers are coming up. Sakura is almost happening.
And today we're going to be talking about love.
Yeah.
And a thesis that I think is a harsh one, but I'm going to try to defend it in a way that doesn't sound bad.
And this is our own thesis. This isn't someone else's.
And the thesis is, you and I are not soulmates.
Ooh.
That's a tough one. And so there's a little bit of backstory to this. So I was on Reddit the other day and I found a tweet.
It's not from one of you guys or anything. It was just a online one, right?
Yeah. And it's from Iman Europe. I don't know who this is, but they're verified on Twitter. And it says, don't let this tainted self-love trend have you 15 alone because you walked away from everything that didn't serve you instead of learning conflict resolution. And then the number one comment for that was, people believe in soulmates too much to deal with any inconveniences and imperfections. And I believe this to be very true. And this is why I think that you and I don't fit the old model of soulmates, because I believe the way that soulmates have been described before is two people meet that are just a perfect fit together in like a piece of a puzzle, and then they just get together happily ever after the end. I hate the idea of happily ever after because there is a lot of unhappiness that happens that you work through, a lot of growth that people work at. And I think people don't see the hard work aspect of relationships. And that's kind of one of the things I want to talk about today.
I was like, am I part of this podcast? What's happening? Are you monologuing? I'm like, it's good Lord. Well, I wanted to say to you that the whole reason why we started talking about that was because of a comment from one of our nasties.
Right.
So I was trying to explain first that we got a comment from someone being like, I'm never going to find, like, sometimes you guys make me feel really empty because I feel like I'm never going to find my Simon.
That's what it said in the comment.
Yeah, and they said that, you know, they felt like they kind of lose hope because they're like, I'll never find someone that good.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wrote back to them, and this is how we got started talking about it. And I said to them that, you know, when I met Simon, like, Simon has gone through phases in his life without me. He's been a shitty teenager.
Yep.
You know, you didn't study and you
very
were
bad
difficult
boy.
To your teachers.
Yeah.
You were like a total jerk.
Right.
You only played basketball.
I know.
You didn't help your family out.
I was inconsiderate and selfish and very misogynistic growing up.
And if we went to the same school, that probably would have gone, like, we never would have ever worked things out in adulthood.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
But Simon changed and he changed and he became a better person and he went to university and discovered a whole realm of different types of people.
Right.
Different women doing inspiring things.
Yep.
Because I think you were talking to me about your perspective of women before because of your...
Well, the kind of environment that I grew up in... you could call it the hood if you want. It wasn't super dangerous, like everyone's dying getting shot. I do know somebody that got shot, though.
Yeah.
And so,
and people robbed each other's houses.
So it wasn't great, but I grew up in very much like a rap video culture. Like that's what I grew up watching. And I always, you know, believed, well, not necessarily believe, but I always saw the women like just in rap videos, just like shaking their asses and being nothing but like sex objects for men.
And they seem happy about it. Like they seem to be like, yes, I'm so happy that you're
and men
giving
always,
me the champagne
like,
shower and
they
stuff.
Were always discussing women as like hoes or things to be like thrown aside or having like side chicks or this and that.
Yeah.
And there was never really anybody trying to do any good. And, you know, I saw this in like the friends around me. Like I heard this in like close people around me as well. Like they espouse this idea. And it wasn't until I really met you that I found somebody that I really, truly respected as a woman.
Oh,
it
gosh,
took me
wow.
It took me a very long time.
Yeah.
Like I had a really bad idea. But then when I saw you first, I'm like, holy fuck, you're smoking hot.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first thing that attracted me. But then the more that we talked, like,
I'm more than just a body.
You're more than just a body. Like, I love your thoughts. I love your personality a lot more than your body. And that's saying a lot because I really love your body. But it
Do
took
you mind
me,
if I stroke you up?
It took me a while to get that, and I'm not sure if people see that in a relationship.
Yeah. Well, they can't. What they're seeing on the... And the reason why I asked you to share this is not because I'm like, Simon used to like to hose.
Yeah.
I'm just, what does that make me?
Right.
No, the reason why I'm bringing this up is because they only see the product right now, which is, look at these two people. He makes her coffee and he takes care of her. Mm-hmm. And he's so patient and loving and I want a Simon. And it's like... Simon didn't respect women before he met me.
Yeah.
So he met me. We got to know each other.
Right.
At the time, I had a boyfriend.
Yeah.
When I first saw Simon, I wasn't attracted to him. Mm-hmm. I wasn't not attracted to him. Mm-hmm. It was just that I had a boyfriend. So I'm not supposed to be attracted.
Yeah.
We got to know each other as friends. Mm-hmm. And I thought he was just a totally awesome stand-up guy. Mm-hmm. He was patient. He was nice. He was kind. But he wasn't hitting on me. And he wasn't laying it on thick or anything. He was just being a good person.
Mm-hmm.
Even when he wasn't, like, I wasn't looking, what's it called? When you thought I wasn't looking, like you weren't just trying to do things nice because I was there.
Yeah.
You know, some
people
do
that. It wasn't
just
for the show. It wasn't for the spectacle. It wasn't like conspicuous.
Yeah.
It was just a matter of like, I cared for your well-being.
No, I have a secret example.
Okay, go for it.
I saw you opening a door for like a sweet older lady on the U of T campus.
Oh.
And I was really far away.
All right.
And I was doing that squirrel joke that we do when we would be squirrels and we'd go... And we'd pretend to like bound up to each other. Mm-hmm. I had like an off pet squirrel on university campus. Mm-hmm. You remember the gray squirrel that I'd sit with every morning and
give
biscuits?
I remember. Yeah.
I gave him biscuits. Mm-hmm. Probably shouldn't have, but anyhow. And I saw you. I saw you waiting there. And then I saw a woman walking past and you like kind of scrambled over before she, like you didn't see her at first and you were like, oh gosh. And you scrambled over and you opened the door for her.
Right.
And I was like, he's a kind person that's always been this way with me, but he's not doing it just to hook me.
Right.
You know? And I fell in love with you.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying. So
I'm glad you did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then over time, of course we had arguments, fights, and disagreements.
Right. I don't think people see a lot of the effort that goes into this because we don't show it and we don't talk about it a lot, but there are plenty of times that we'll stay awake till like 4 a.m. discussing our own issues, our own inner demons, trying to like help each other work through things.
Things that might be trying to sabotage the relationship. Like I went through a lot of hardships with accepting my EDS to the point where I was really trying to push Simon away and be like, because I didn't want him to be stuck with somebody who had a handicap like mine. Right. And I felt like we used to do all this fun stuff together. And now I can't do all the things I used to do. So my own insecurities caused me to start pushing him away. Like, oh, of course you wouldn't want to take care of me. Or like, you know, I don't want that tea because I started to feel guilty about it. Uh-huh. And Simon's like, girl, I love you. I'm never going to leave you. And we had to work through these kinds of things.
And there's
a
lot of work. And it seems like whenever I look at places like relationship advice, as soon as somebody does something wrong, they're like, it's time for you to lawyer up, hit the gym and find a new person and leave. And nobody really wants to put the work into something.
Now, just really quickly, I'm going to say as a disclaimer, there are abusive situations.
Of course.
We're obviously not discussing that. That's the kind of thing where, of course, you should be leaving it. But I mean, smaller situations, like I know people that argue, every single couple is going to argue over money.
Right.
You know, how does it come in? Uh-huh. Where do we save it? How much can we spend on something? Can you buy a PlayStation? Can you not?
Right.
Is a PlayStation the same as a dress? Like, these are discussions that people have and they give up on it.
And recalibrating your like goals. Like, we're very different people now than we were back in Korea. Like the goals that we have now for more like self-care, for more like time with each other, for more like planning for the future. Like a few years ago, we didn't have
all that we
thought about back then was just like working and making videos and producing and like overwork because we're definitely like suffer from workaholism.
Yeah, we're trying now to get over that.
But you know, like every like 10 years or so, things are going to change and you have to be able to want to put in the work for that.
You say every 10 years or so, but I believe it can be even more drastic than that.
Sure it can.
You know, we've talked about this before and I don't want to get emotional, but I'm just going to cry for the next. Listen,
oh, girl.
I'm having a sensitive time because my dad just died and Spudgy died. And so I'm just in a bit of a griefy state.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say about that was that like Simon and I got married and my dad got sick about 3 years in.
Yeah.
And from then on out, we were in Korea at the time. We just started YouTube.
Right.
So if you're wondering why we're workaholics, there was a lot of mental stuff to be avoiding as well.
Right.
So we just started our first year as full-time YouTubers. Mm-hmm. I just quit my job at Bucheon Yogo and my dad's leg had started to shake and quiver and he was having a hard time at karate.
Right.
And then from then on out, Simon has only experienced me in the most like kind of painful state.
Right.
And I did a lot of mean thrashing. Yeah. You know, like I did a lot of like denial yeah. about my dad. And
right.
I went through stages of total depression where
yeah.
I couldn't get out of the bed.
Really hard, scary, emotional yeah. breakdowns and we've had.
Simon could have definitely left me. You know,
and I never will.
Well,
though.
I know you won't because right? I know that. But I'm saying, you mm-hmm. know, that's an example of a couple that would be like, I can't take this anymore. Like
yeah.
we've gotten some emails from people that I'm proud that they're pulling through now, but yeah. they have EDS as well.
Right.
And some people were saying things like their husband left them when they said that you changed and you're different.
Yeah.
And I was like, that person, not you, but uh-huh. the other person who left just
right.
wasn't willing to work on things.
Right.
And the person who had the condition,
yeah.
if they were being nasty and mean, mm-hmm. because I've done that,
yeah.
I've had my pain lash out.
Right.
I said, I got to face this. I'm being nasty and mean. And so you have to try together.
There is a very strong sense that people have of individualism. They're like, this is exactly who I am. This is who my personality, and I want somebody to fit that perfectly. And they don't understand their personalities and identities as fluid and transient. And we grow and we develop and we become different people. I'm not the same person I was before I met you.
No.
I was a shitty person, and we're going to keep on trying to change. But it seems like there's some people like, this is who I am. And if you don't like it, screw you. Both of you have to be willing to mm-hmm. forego your mm-hmm. sense of individualism. Still have like a sense of individualism, but not be like strongly adhering to this. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to make mm-hmm. concessions. You have to be able to like sacrifice
I think
and
we
make
can,
work.
I think we can make a really good example from something that happened with you and I.
Okay.
And that maybe other people, if you've had this problem, let me know.
Maybe.
Simon does not like browsing in the grocery store.
No.
He does not like browsing. He
I
doesn't
hate it.
Want to browse. He yeah. wants to make a list.
I worked in a mall for like a very big part of my
Get
teenage
over
years.
It.
Right. Like I used to work like 70-hour weeks at like two different jobs, and I just hated shopping as a result. I know that it's something that you like, and for up until like last year.
Wait, choro mate.
Yeah.
Which kind of shopping do I like? Grocery store shopping.
Okay.
I like grocery store shopping. I don't want to talk about the mall. So I'm saying this is interesting as well. Like you're talking about how you worked in a mall and
uh-huh.
that's why you hate grocery shopping.
Uh-huh. But no, I just hate all shopping.
Oh, it extends into the grocery
yeah,
realm. Because I worked at a grocery store for a year and a half.
I just hate all shopping.
Oh, okay.
All of it. But I know that like my anxiety and discomfort in a supermarket or a mall or grocery store or anywhere that we went
mm-hmm.
wound up being uncomfortable for you.
Yeah.
And I had to just force myself to say, you know what? Just go with it. Just roll with it.
Mm-hmm.
Push yourself to your levels of discomfort because your own discomfort is hurting your wife.
Mm-hmm.
And even though it was really painful, I saw that as soon as I started making that change in myself, you became so much more happier, so much more comfortable, so much less tense when we were shopping, so much more at ease.
I just want to give people an example because you're not that bad. It's just that you're giving, you're like, oh, I'm like, this is all that happened.
Uh-huh.
You'd go to the grocery store and Simon would have a list of like five items. He's like, milk, eggs, butter, bread, and that's it. We're leaving.
Yeah.
And I would say, okay, well, like, but what are we going to have for supper tonight? Like, maybe we should have pork chops. Well, should we have pork chops? Pork chops look really good today. And I'd go to the aisle and I'd look at the stuff. And Simon will be like, if you want to browse, I'm leaving. I'll go sit outside on that bench.
Right.
And for me, it was a very strange experience because I thought it was a couple thing where we would discuss or we would buy things because the two of us were little tiny birds in our little tiny nest. And we'd say, what kind of seeds should we bring home?
Uh-huh.
I thought it was just kind of like a thing that people did.
Right.
But we have to remember that people grew up with different lives. They had different jobs. They had different experiences with grocery shopping.
Uh-huh.
Grocery shopping for me was a pleasure because I'd go with my mom every time. And the two of us loved grocery shopping together.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of us just like not discussing this, we tried to make a middle ground.
Yeah.
Which was Simon was going to kind of calm down because we are grocery shopping for each other.
Mm-hmm.
We are looking for things for each other.
Yeah.
But I can't push it to an unfair point.
Right.
Like I can't expect him to stay, you know, when I go to the candy aisle and go, look at candy and childhood memories. Like Simon will be like, okay, girl, I'm leaving. Now it's just this really calm experience where we shop together. We find our things.
Mm-hmm.
And then I start to look over and I go, I think Simon's kind of at his maximum.
Right. And so what we practice are like gradual concessions and
What's a concession mean for everyone?
So like for me, like I just didn't want to spend any time in a grocery store. And I just said, forget about it.
So
you
go
in there.
This is Simon going, no way. Right? And this is me going, please.
And then
here.
Eventually I said, you know what? This bullheadedness, stubbornheadedness of mine was resulting in tension with me and tension with Martina. Let me make a gradual concession and like agree to be more open-minded and spend more time there. And then you understood that I was making a concession.
An effort,
and then you made a similar concession as well. I'd be like, you're going to spend less time there because you know, even though I don't like it, you're doing it for me. You're going to slow things down.
Yeah, so we were both trying to change things for each other.
But from the traditional ideas of soulmates.
Your butt was so loud it hurt my ears.
the traditional idea of soulmates is that we're like, this would be, we're not soulmates.
We would never have even had this conversation. We would never have,
because soulmates should automatically know what everybody, like.
Soulmates would say, my love, I shall go get us groceries. And you'll go, okay, my charming duck, let's go together. And we'd go, tra-la-la, I don't have to work for livings.
I think that's a very unrealistic and unfair thing for people to expect. And there's one thing that I see in the comments often that concerns me a little bit. And some of you might have said this as well. So I'm not going to try to scold you, but I want to change people's ideas about this. I often see comments like, where can I find a Simon? Where can I get a Simon? Where can I find somebody that treats me like Simon? I rarely ever see anybody say, how can I be like Simon? How can I get better? How can I get better? How can I try to put the effort into a relationship that Simon puts in?
I wonder if I have been doing something to hurt my spouse or partner that I should work on.
It sounds like the way that these comments come across, of course, it's only like a few words, so I can't get the full context of a person's individuality. And we know everyone,
a lot of people are trying to be just positive. Like, like, I'm lucky, you're lucky you have a nice time. We understand that.
I love the compliment, but I just don't want this. I'm worried.
But we used to study English, so the two of us get really into things, guys.
I'm worried about the residual effect that some of these phrases have, because I'm not somebody that was found. You're not somebody that was found. We've created each other for each other because we love each other and we want to see each other grow. We both see potential. There are some relationships in which one person puts in a lot of work and the other person doesn't put in a lot of work.
No, I can give you like an example from my own life. There was a guy that I dated that we got along very well, and we were really good at making concessions. And I really loved him, and he loved me, and we loved each other a lot. But slowly, his like lifestyle started to creep into our time together. To the point that like I've showed up at his house before, and he's like, wait a second, I'm almost done. And then he like played video games until I actually just left the house and walked home. And he didn't even notice. He called me at nighttime. It was like 8 hours later. Like, oh, where did you go? That's when I started to realize that I think his love is towards this. And no matter how much I tried to talk to him about it, it wasn't a conversation that he was willing to change. And so when I broke up with him, I didn't break up with anger or upsetment or screaming. I said, I really love you, but I think you're going to meet somebody who's going to love you for this. Like two gamers finding each other, or two anime people finding each other, or two food people finding each other. It doesn't necessarily mean a soulmate connection. It's just he wasn't willing to change. And he didn't have to, but I wasn't going to stay with him. Because he wasn't willing to do anything.
And if he wasn't willing to do the work, then the relationship isn't going to work. And you and I, so we are not soulmates in that respect, but we want to be. And we keep on trying to be.
We
want to
be the best we can be for each other.
And we know that like as we change, like as like age creeps in and like different things happen to our body and our minds and
Simon's getting hair in strange places.
I'm losing hair in other places.
He's beginning to feel attracted to women.
Like there are things that, like, we're going to have to keep on trying to grow, to develop, because we want to see each other happy. Because for us, like for me, I know that there's nothing I could do on my own that makes me quite as happy as doing something that makes you happy. I could sit at home and I could play video games by myself and be like, oh yeah, that was entertaining. But if I do something like go out and get you flowers or give you a massage so that you feel less pain and I see you happy, that joy that I get out of that is better than any joy that I get from doing something for myself.
Okay, well, I'm going to interrupt you and tell you that this is why everyone in the comments are like, I want to get a Simon. And the, let me just defend this. I'm on the side of the other people because you are my Simon. My Simon, back off everybody. No, just joking. I think the concept here that you have to think about is that you weren't always in this mindset. You might have enjoyed making me happy, but it's now that you've come to a point where you're like, this is really the greatest thing. I really enjoy this. But not everyone's there yet. So people feel hurt. Like when I was dating that other guy, when he couldn't change for me, it felt like, I mean, obviously he doesn't love me enough, But I think that's an unfair thing to say when you think about it. I think he did love me, but there were just other things that were more interesting to him at the time. So we always hope that our significant other, our partner or our husband or our wife or whoever, we always hope that they'd be willing to change for us because they want to make us happy. But then that's when people get into like the struggles, like you should want to make me happy. Like they get into those kind of conversation tones, you know? And that's not good for trying to have communication with each other.
So there you go. There's our idea.
Did that get confusing for you?
There was a lot for us to go over and like a lot of thoughts that we had about relationships and soulmates.
Also, some of the things we can say, tools that have helped us. We've gotten a couple therapy.
And we still do.
People think that therapy is for people who are fighting with each other, and it's the last we're
about to get divorced, we have to go to
I guess we got to go to therapy.
Well, think of it as like a personal trainer. Yeah. If you go to the gym, you don't have to just go to the gym. You're like, well, my back's out, I'm 300 pounds overweight, and I had a heart attack and I might die, can you fix me? It doesn't work that way. You could also go to a personal trainer, like when I was in Canada, like, hey, I'm having a little bit of difficulty with these deadlifts, I'm not sure if I'm doing the movement right, can you help me out?
Yeah. And there seems to be no shame in that. There's no shame in going to the dentist. Yeah. Hey, my teeth hurt and I think I have a cavity.
Right.
I didn't brush it right. They're like, no problem.
Right. And there's some times that you and I are like, hey, I'm not sure how we could like come to an understanding of this because we have like confusion here. Maybe we could speak to somebody else and like have a better idea.
Shine a different light on the conversation.
Without any anger or accusations because we know that we're in this for each other. And sometimes you need a little help with your deadlift.
There are times where we'll be in the middle of a conversation that we can't seem to resolve. Like that happened to us for like the grocery store conversation or other things, like where I would say finally, like, I just think we should message our counselor and book an appointment. And
I'd be like, yeah, good idea.
And he would say, good idea. Yeah. And it wasn't hurtful. Like, of course, we were arguing with each other at the time, but that wasn't like a mean comment. Like, I wasn't like, why won't you change for me if you love me? That's what I was talking about the other time where people might argue with each other. I've never said that. I mean, they argue with each other and then it just makes it worse.
Yeah.
When I got to that point where I was like, this is not working, I said, hey, we should go to the counselor. And it wasn't a hurtful thing to say.
Right.
It wasn't me trying to say it to like make you feel bad.
Make you feel low, make you feel weak.
No, like, we both went like, oh. Yeah, that's a good idea. Why didn't we think about going to the counselor?
People can go to personal trainers and dentists and accountants and ask for help just fine. But as soon as it becomes like anything about mental health, then it is like the stigma behind it.
Or couples. Yeah. Couples can't talk about the fact that they argue. And by the way, relationships go like this. Uh-huh. You have times where you're really in sync with each other and everything's going great. Yeah. And then something will happen. And then it may not be even with each other. Right. It could be your job, your friends, your family.
Your issue with your dad wasn't something that you did.
No.
It wasn't your fault at all, but it's like the sadness and the grief, you know, had some like impacts on us, and we had to like figure out our way to work through it. And there will be things in the future, like my parents will get sick, my parents one day will pass, like other family members and friends will pass, and like we don't have a dog yet, but we'll get another dog, and he too will pass.
All right, let's slow this down.
So I don't mean to be grim, but I mean to say
like, that things will happen in life. People will get fired, they'll get new jobs, you'll lose money, you'll be broke,
and you got to be willing to work on it. Yeah. Don't hold on to the strong idea of you're waiting for the perfect person that's going to come here and do all these things for you. Go into a relationship with the idea that like, I want to be able to change and grow with this person. Our relationship is something we're going to work on together.
Yeah. And the last thing that I'm going to say
is
that I feel like we see each other as a team.
Yeah.
And this is advice that I always want to give people.
Yeah.
When we get glum and we get low and when we're the most frustrated, Simon will say, hey girl, I want to let you know that I'm on your team.
Yeah.
And I say, that's right. You're my teammate.
Right.
Teammates want to win.
Yeah.
The two of them want to win together.
Right.
You don't say to your teammate who missed the shot, you're a loser and I hate you. That would never help. You'd say, don't worry, man, we'll work on your three-pointers like all weekend long.
Yeah.
Like I'll train with you or I'll be there for you. Or like, why don't we all go on a diet together where we eat more protein? Like whatever it is, you do it together.
Yeah.
So the attitude of being a team, I think, is extremely important when it comes into going to any kind of a relationship.
Right.
And then, all the rest of the stuff that Simon said before me, that was nicer.
The point is, we have a lot that we could talk about. We've already pretty much gone over our limit here for today.
If you hear that crumpling sound, it's because I just did my hair silver, and then the bottoms are being updated pink because they got all washed out, and then I put them in tinfoil, and then what's that? What's that sound?
Shower caps.
I wrapped them in shower caps. Just another hot tip for what you can do.
Right. With shower caps.
I want the highest rated comment on this beautiful video to be like, please, Martina, make a video on shower caps.
Where can I find myself, instead of assignment, where can I find myself those shower caps?
From hotel bathrooms.
All right. Take care, everyone.
Bye, guys.
For listening.
Thanks for listening.
We'll see you next time.